share a few practices that can be used, you know, and any of them resonate with you. The first one I'll mention, it came up because one of my students, you know, he'd been practicing for quite a while. And, you know, he was really generally really happy with his life, the way his practice was moving and progressing for him. And, you know, things were pretty good, except he had this home office. And on the home office was a pile of papers he hadn't dealt with that was really huge. And every time he walked back by the room, his mind would darken, you know, and he'd get really, you know, unhappy. And he just had this cloud hanging over him regarding this pile of papers. And, you know, he mentioned it in passing, kind of never thinking of that as, wait, your practice is there. That's where your practice is. And so I had him that every time he went by that pile of papers, he would stop, bow to it, so that he really got that this is practice, and commit to three pieces. And with them, he would pick up the paper, and he would say, okay, is this useful or not useful? You know, and see how his body reacted. You know, sometimes it was obvious. You know, he kept something and the expiration day had already happened, you know. But it was somewhere in that pile, right? And, you know, and then I said, okay, now feel it in your body, you know. And especially when something he wasn't sure what to do with it, his body would tighten. There'd be this weight in the mind. And, you know, he was able to just see that whole process of how dukkha happens in us just by slowing down and giving this attention. And that's just as valuable as anything we discover on the cushion. And so he did this every day for, you know, just, you know, a few pieces a day until he could actually meet that paper, those papers with a little bit of equanimity, you know, most of the time. And this is the kind of practice we can do in our life. You know, when things, there's something in our life that's difficult, we can turn to it. And you know, not, that's not in the suttas though, just so you don't go looking for it. yeah, the time of the Buddha, they didn't have those kind of issues. the other practice, you know, I actually learned from a minister. You know, he was, his congregation, he just felt like everybody would come meet him and just complain, you know, and the habit of complaining is a really harmful habit to us. You know, we don't realize sometimes how easy it is to complain. And so what he did was he gave every member of his congregation a little bracelet and asked them to commit for 30 days that every time they complain, they would move the bracelet from one hand to another. You know, it was just a little elastic bracelet so you could just do it really easily. And he not only got his congregation doing this, but hundreds of congregations took it up. And I actually did that. I actually did that practice for a while, though I made the mistake of using like these beautiful little mala beads, you know, and really bruised my hand when I accidentally hit it. So use something flat if that attracts you. You know, another practice that people have done at times is cultivating generosity. And just by looking for a way to be generous every day, you know, and especially without somebody really knowing it was you, it's a very sweet way to be generous. You know, paying for somebody, people have paid for somebody on the bridge, paid their toll, you know, or just letting somebody go in line in front of you. You know, or helping somebody carry some groceries or calling a relative that you avoid. You know, there's a lot of ways to be generous, you know, and just looking for those opportunities starts generating the kind of a habitual way of this wonderful feeling of generosity and connection with other people. Um, And another practice, which I have done, you know, and I'll see if I can tell it, you know, we're not giving ourselves too much time to talk, so I'm kind of trying to get a few ideas, not, you know, I found myself, I was not only very critical of myself, but I grew up being critical of everybody I met. I mean, I didn't respect anybody, never respected a single teacher I had until I met one teacher, you know, in high school, finally met someone I respected. But in general, I just, you know, had nothing nice to say about the world around me. And one of my teachers recommended this practice of going to a busy place like an airport, or, you know, even a doctor's office or a place where there's other people around, and finding something you like about the person. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be the way they wear their hair, the way they're sitting, the way they're smiling, it doesn't matter what it is, you know. And I was doing really good. I went to the airport, and I was doing really good at the airport. You know, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, and I just went. You know, and then this woman came by with this little kid about 3 or 4 years old, and she was like dragging him, kind of really meanly, you know. And I was just like, my heart just went, how could she, you know? And I thought, okay, how am I going to find something nice to like about this woman, you know? And it wasn't so bad that I would interfere, but it was, you know, hurting, you know, it hurt to see it. And, you know, and I looked at her, and finally she was wearing these really pretty socks, you know, and, you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, and I had this moment of appreciation of like when she chose the socks, you know, and the little bit of joy she must have had in those socks. You know, but doing that on a regular basis, you know, you're stuck in gridlock, you know, and the car next to you, you know, they're blaring the exact music you hate, you know, and, you know, okay, you know, what is there something that I like over there, you know, something that I like? And, you know, this guy was, he was really enjoying himself, you know, I just hated the music, but he was really enjoying himself. So I could appreciate his enjoyment. And, you know, so this is how these habits develop, you know, and, you know, you might look at yourself and see, are there areas in your life that you habitually contract? Are there areas in your life you habitually close your eyes to? And lastly, I'll tell you the one that, you know, I've said this many times, but it's just so powerful for me. You know, when I used to come home from retreat, the work I did, I used to always have like at least 100 emails, you know, or I'd say maybe at least a few hundred. And it would always feel like, you know, I'm coming from a retreat, I'm really mellow, I'd open my computer and, you know, email hell, you know. and so I started looking at every email and taking a moment, just a moment, to connect with the other person, whether I knew them or not, if it was like, you know, some functional email, someone I don't know, and really connect that there's another human being at the other end, and I'd smile, you know, and that was enough to, oh, just this one email, this one connection, and it didn't take any longer. Because, you know, I was more at peace, and then my mind worked a little clearer. So it was actually easier to write the email and to respond, to know what to do. And, you know, it's a practice I've done for years. It's not even a practice anymore. It's just the way my experience is. And sometimes I even do that with spam when I delete it, you know. It's like, you know, just the joy of deleting spam. I don't even have to... So that's what I had to share this morning. I'm going to pass it to Matthew, who's going to talk about the non-doing in daily life or something similar.
Uh, What I thought to say is just a word briefly about rest, and attuning to what rest is for you, and because we all know those times when it's like we've been very emotionally stimulated, or we've been working hard, or there's something churning in us, or we've been just giving attention in a very diligent way to meditation, to another person, to work, whatever. And something in our attention wants to go totally slack. You know, it's like we want zero attentional caloric burn. That makes sense? Like zero. Like, how do I burn zero attentional calories right now? Enter TikTok. I'm very receptive to the kind of need for a certain kind of rest, you know, that is not, this may be, we might debate about this, but it's like, it's not mindful. It's not actually mindful. Maybe this is heretical, but it's actually letting the attention go slack and becoming identified with whatever you're with. And in the, you know, in the scientific literature, there is some respect for the balance of mindfulness and something like mindlessness. I sometimes joke that the four Brahma Viharas of loving kindness and compassion, joy, equanimity, the fifth Brahma Vihara is puttering. Yeah. And what I mean by that is like but you have to be careful, because whatever is coming into the system is really coming in. You're like quite defenseless in a certain way to whatever's coming in. And so the encouragement is like, okay, what are activities that are actually like, that don't feel like you're going to have to effort, that do feel like zero attentional caloric burn, but are not harmful to the mind stream. And if we're engaging with, you know, media in one way or another, to like be really clear when you've sort of had your fill. You know, and there's a sense of like something is being restored. And then we like hit a point where if we keep going, it's just, there's a hangover with it. It's actually too much, right? And so to be, and maybe that on one day is actually 3 minutes of scrolling in one way or another. And maybe it's an hour or something. But you're like really actually attending to like when you have your fill and when it's time to put it down, even though a part of you is going to want to keep going because it's just coasting down a hill and there's no energy needed at all. But then with that, the hangover of unconsciousness, you know, that happens. And so just to not be moralistic about that, and find ways of puttering that feel like, you know, that feel, you know, that could be just like doing chores or whatever, you know, just little things that are subtly soothing, and enjoy them and enjoy the rest, and know, you know, and be respectful of your mind and what seeds are planted. So, for what it's worth.